happened?
I don't know. I didn't hear from her. Have you heard?
She might. I saw her car today.
I don't know how things are going. First off, could everybody turn their cell phones off or put them to mute, please, so we're not interrupted? I know some people have to have them on. And any private conversations, can you take outside the room so we can hear what other people are saying? Roll call, our board members.
Bernie Fajaro here.
Michelle French.
Dennis Lovell.
Curtis Donnelly Jr.
And no Bobby Fitzgibbons. We haven't heard. I haven't heard from her. Okay.
That's odd. Yeah, I saw her car there.
Item number two is public comment. This is a time set aside for general public comment on items on the agenda. Since we have no items on the agenda, we'll bypass that and go right through it. Approval of the minutes.
We have had an error internally, and the minutes did not get...
So we do not have the minutes from the last meeting.
We do not have them. No,
okay, so we will table
working
that.
We're working on a new staff member, and there's discussion.
We will table that until the next meeting. Approval of the agenda for this meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay.
She's getting paper conservative.
Agency information from the agency reports. First up, Metro.
You'll say we don't have the podium tonight, so.
It's back over here. You get to stand behind us.
Yeah,
do you want the podium?
Would you like a podium?
No podium.
There she is.
I'm Patty's here.
Quite a drive.
Where are you on me?
Right here.
Right here, okay.
Welcome, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Good to see you. You took you took your ankle bracelet off, so we didn't know where you were.
Yeah. You were beginning to worry, my lady. You okay? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Morrow, Sergeant Las Vegas Metro for the Mountain Falls Investment Section. So the previous month, my guys ran on 17 calls for service in this area, wrote 22 citations. What I have to talk about for the future is a permit that was issued by the U.S. Forest Service on the 7th of March. It's the commercial filming of comedians in cars getting coffee. It's a Jerry Seinfeld deal, I guess.
It's fantastic. If you haven't watched it, I suggest you have.
I was going to say, Megan says it's phenomenal. So what they're going to do, they're going to drive state routes 156, 158, and 157 with a stop at Desert View Overlook. Four vehicles, crew of 12, approved for 2 days of filming, so the 7th and the 8th of March. They have to remain on the paved asphalt and concrete surfaces at all times. So just be aware of that if you had questions as to why that was going on. It's permitted. There'll be two Metro overtime officers, not my mountain guys, but folks from the guys in the city. We'll be up escorting those folks around.
Is that daylight hours, or do you know?
They can do it anytime they want, but I think it's probably daylight.
Okay.
Every show I've seen is daylight.
Yeah. They might try a scary mountain show.
We have some scary people.
The reason you're telling us this is for safety concern, or is we want to be in the background shots just to go up and down?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
They want to sit Bigfoot out there.
Yeah, if anybody has a suit, that'd be cool.
I don't know. There's some folks at the ski area that dress up while they ski.
Do we know who the comedian is going to be with him?
Doesn't say.
Oh.
7th and 8th.
Let's see. Do you know? Don, do you know or no?
If I knew, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay. Darn it.
Spoils the show next time. No.
When is it going to air?
I know.
Don't
so exciting.
We'll find out and share that for everybody.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll put that out in the video. Does anyone have any questions of me?
Nope. What were the 17? I don't want the list, but... breaking and entering, littering, what'd you respond to?
The calls.
The calls, you had something. Sorry, I'll be more explicit.
The look on his face.
plethora of things. Essentially, we had some couple of suspicious vehicle calls. They turned out to be nothing really. People from town thinking that it's a road they could sit on and observe people on private roads.
Submarine racers.
We pulled a lot of people out of the snow. We had multiple vehicles overturned and or slid off the road. We pulled those folks out. And that the calls for service I give you don't address all the parking violations and those things. That's self-initiated, or car stops are self-initiated activities. So the calls I tell you about are the ones that we get calls from folks like you that are in towns or areas driving by and going, hey, this is going on. So most of it's innocuous. It's folks slid off the road. It's, like I said, a couple of suspicious vehicle calls that turn into nothing.
Nothing to worry about.
No. Now, if there's anything of concern about, like a real crime, a burglary or something like that, we definitely do not.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Mount Charleston Fire Protection District.
George Gonzalez, Mount Charleston Fire District. For the reported period, we had 31 calls for service. Most of the calls were medical. On the February 11th, Saturday, about 11:25, engine 853 was responding to a ski resort for a medical. And if you haven't heard, we had a major accident with the engine tipped over. Luckily, none of the staff were injured. Myself and our staff became part of the emergency itself. So, an emergency within an emergency. Again, no staff member was injured. I want to thank all the agencies who responded, Metro, NHP, Chief Haydu actually also responded, VFD members, some of the MVPs also responded. So, I appreciate your help and understanding and all your assistance during that difficult time. The engine's currently right now being assessed by the adjusters insurance due to the age of the engine, and I don't see it being fixed, but it's up to the insurance company. Luckily, we have an engine in order already. Delivery time will be June. It'll be a sister engine to the currently one at 2853, but the delivery time will be June. As soon as I can get the winter time frame warms up a little bit or goes away, I will get another reserve engine that will be parked right across this, for the staff to use. In the meantime, we're using our reserve engines, our brush engines, as for response time. We also lost an employee, voluntary resignation. So I have a vacancy right now. I'll be doing an open recruitment here in the next couple of weeks for that position, and also the seasonal positions that they'll start in May. We did had a couple of avalanche warnings that we put out working with Metro and some of the folks and county folks. We put out some warnings. We are actually close to the road in Necco, working with our partners. We felt that that was the appropriate warning for all the citizens and residents to make sure that they're aware of the conditions. We did have a slide in Cathedral. Actually, we had a couple more since then, smaller ones, but it'd be good for folks to know that conditions exist up here and be aware of those conditions. And I think I covered everything. Anybody got any questions for me?
How do people apply for the position?
So we're using the Southern Nevada recruitment list that happened last year. I'll be pulling from that list. So folks are in that list. That's the list that I'll be using.
Okay.
Okay.
I've had a lot of people ask me, even for your seasonals?
Even for the seasonal, that's okay. Where I pull. Yes.
How long will the seasonals be on? And would they start in May?
They'll start in May all the way to October.
October.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Not to ask you to air your dirty laundry, but what happened with the fire engine? Were you in a designated public right-of-way? You in a fire lane? What happened?
It was on State Route 158, mile marker 6, that we responded to a call on ski resort. Hit a patch of ice. During that time frame, we were getting a bunch of snow on the ground. They just happened to hit a patch of ice. The engine, description from everybody, description is that the engine lost control, hit the bank of the, on that overlook, past the overlook in the curve, and the weight of the engine drove to the side, 180, and tipped it over on the side. Luckily, no injuries to the employees. Nobody was injured. None of the public were injured. 30 feet more, and I think we would have been a catastrophic injury. So I'm real thankful for that. And again, thanks to all the agencies for responding. The last thing I want to mention is that Forest Service has been conducting plow burns, and they notify us every day of their control burns. Actually, we have some of our dentists and some of the volunteers participating, so I appreciate that. Open door, and we'll try to help out as much as we can when we can. So I appreciate that, and thanks to Dennis for responding. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Las Vegas Valley Water District, Mike.
Mike Points with the Las Vegas Valley Water District. No podium. You didn't know what to do.
You get to see the hole.
So the system continues to be in a good operating situation. The wells have been recharging at an incredible rate because of the healthy snowfall they've had this year. In fact, I was talking to you earlier, it's just amazing how Echo 3 is at 35 feet now below ground surface. We're at 100 feet. Just a year ago. So it's an incredible recharge of the aquifer. We'll probably end up switching out the operating condition on the road from concern to sustainable, probably at summertime and then spring, depending on the runoff. But this is looking pretty good. Echo 3 is at 35 feet, Echo 4 is at 115 feet, Echo 5 is at 87 feet, and Rainbow is at 127. These are all numbers that you have to go back to 2005, 12 years ago, before you were in this health. So it's too bad we don't have a big reservoir here.
That would be nice.
But that's all good news. That's all I have. One, I'd like to introduce someone who's with us tonight. Derek Jackson, sitting right there. He's our new small system superintendent for the water district. He oversees the rural systems. It's a new position that's been created this year.
I left too soon.
Another resource for this community and all the other rural systems in Clark County. So I'll say hi.
Hi.
Hello. So the lawn watering restrictions have been removed?
Yeah, not yet.
Hi. I'm Brian Johnson. 4929 Jack Frost Road, Echo Subdivision. I'll just, out of point of curiosity, can you repeat those numbers again? I'm just curious for that.
Sure, you're with Rainbow Subdivision? that's direct 120, so the well is the Rainbow Well.
127 Rainbow.
And that's 127 feet below the land surface.
Right, 87.
87 is Echo 5, 115 is Echo 4, and 35 feet at Echo 3. Echo 3 is the largest.
That's the workhorse, right?
Yeah, is that the one that they use for the signage, Echo 3? I think so, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We still use that one.
They all are kind of correlated.
Yeah, but if Echo 3 is doing well, that's usually...
That's the biggest workhorse, as you know, Rainbow Well's been kind of refurbished last year.
Wasn't Echo Well 3 being refurbished just like last month sometime?
Yeah, yes, the Echo 3 project is now done. But yes, they pulled that well pump out. I believe they wire brushed the can. And then they put in the pump again. This time they lowered it. And then they super pumped it for a certain period of time to waste to really clean things out and put it back in service again. So the well, and it's funny, you know, they went ahead and deepened the well, and of course our aquifer will start to shoot, which is great. So maybe we should have done that like 10 years ago. But The Echo 3 project is done.
Well, with it coming at 35 feet right now, and we haven't really had a lot of runoff yet, we'll probably have a little bubbling around Echo 3.
We actually went up there this last week, and we were prepared for an artesian event.
Yeah.
We have the piping hooked up and everything else. Just
at least for a little while. Yeah, Brian.
I'm sure this is a ridiculous question, but if one well is overflowing, can you transfer the water to one of the wells that isn't, like Rainbow or something like that?
That'd be wonderful.
No.
Just help it out.
Everybody stick buckets in
that. One thing that is kind of nice about it, if it's flowing, most of the time it goes artesian at Echo 3. I've never seen it go artesian at 4 or 5 or Rainbow. And it flows down the creek bed. Well, it flows down the creek bed. It's going back into the aquifer and coming down to the Rainbow Well. So it's actually recharging itself again.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Echo Wells are always the ones that end up getting the best recharge at the beginning of the runoff. And then that trickles down into the Rainbow Well and increases, you know, that level there. So it will make its way down the Rainbow.
One last question. A couple of months ago, there was some work being done like around Spruce Road and Echo. With a big, they had a big steel grate there covering the street. They were doing some kind of work with the water system, I thought.
Must have been distribution.
There was some valves being repaired. More than likely, I'm just guessing at this because I haven't talked to anybody, but the plates are gone, obviously.
Yes, they are.
They've did a temporary patch. When the weather warms up, they have a contractor that comes up. Usually they'll wait until they've got enough work to make it worth the contractor's while, come up and do permit paving to all the patches that the water district have worked on over the last 6 or 8 months. So it'll probably be July because it has to be about 70 degrees and rising. Yeah, warm up a little bit before they'll pave it. Tom?
Is there something like a chart on the website that shows the recharge levels over years?
You know, there is for Blue Diamond. I happened to catch that today. I was looking for one actually to bring out to you guys. So I have a chart that's kind of like in a raw data form. I'd be happy to put it something more readable and a trend line as well. And I'll have that at the next meeting.
Yeah, I don't recall ever seeing one every.
I'm sure that we can reach out to Ray Shuth, the hydrologist, and he can compose something really nice.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Put it on the website. Like a regular feature
on the water district website.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
we can
do that. On Mount Charleston Water District Park.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea.
Yeah, let everybody just start using water.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Metro Volunteers, Lauren.
Good evening. Let's go live without the program. Just wanted to say we turned in our grant application. It was turned in over the Metro Volunteers. And then I wanted to say thanks to Melody McGordy for writing it. She did a really great job, and to all the MVPs that helped us figure out everything that we needed. Even though the snow season has been winding down a bit, we still had over 40 hours worked by our awesome MVPs. Mm-hmm. And I want to say thanks to all of them. And also to Beth and to Donna, who did help with the rollover and help them out with the closing of the road. I think that was really great to help out there. And we did get in two new MVP applications, and we'd really like to have more. So if anybody's interested, tell your friends and neighbors, and we'd love to have some more help. And then we're going to start working on what we're going to do for the summer.
Thanks, Lauren. I don't see anybody from NHP. No NHP. All right, Don.
All right, well, everybody talked a little bit about a few things that have been going on, but if you look up Echo Canyon and you look at the top of the mountain, you'll see a big cornice up on top. And there's strong southwest winds coming in on Sunday night. So the avalanche risk will elevate because it's warming, but we're also getting winds. So that tends to create some movement. So just be aware of that and be safe. We're still elevated avalanche risk in the forest. We're backcountry work people. There's Dan's been dealing with skiers who want to ski outside of the ski areas where it's unsafe. But just be aware that we're still in winter season, and we don't know what the Mother Nature is going to do next. So. Part of that then too is also, you all see all the snow around us, there's going to be runoff. You know, it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. And hopefully we have a slow spring melt, but you never know. Okay, it's not going to take much. I grew up in the Mount Hood area with warm Chinook winds blowing down the gorge, and you could have 2 feet of snow disappear overnight. And I was there when we had the 100-year flood. And you know, closed the airport and flooded downtown Portland, and that was in the 90s, and it was just overnight. So it can happen. We just need to be prepared for it. So my advice, you know, is everybody's going to be dealing with emergency services a lot, but be prepared for it. You know, the snow was kind of the snowmageddon that nobody could prepare for. Well, you know that the runoff is going to be something we can prepare for whether it be sandbags. You know, just get prepared because it's going to happen. Where? No one knows. But Mother Nature is going to determine where it's going to, you know, we have the great luge run out there in Rainbow, you know, but hopefully the water runs down, but you never know where it's going to go. So just kind of a heads up there. We've hired a new fuel specialist, Scott Kazar, has joined our fuels team, and he'll be in charge of all our prescribed fire and FireWise programs, et cetera. I actually picked up your brochure outside there and said, well, that's good, because we need your help to do your part, you know, on your lands while we do our part on the forest side. And looking around at the homes and things like that, you know, if you read the stories about what happened in Washoe County, okay, and the homes that were saved had done their FireWise work and had cleared around their homes. The homes that had trees growing through their decks and trees hanging over their roofs did not survive. And that's typical of wildland fires. Why did that house live and this house died? You know, it's the same kind of thing. So it's incumbent upon the public to do their part as well, and the agencies will do ours to help support that. But as we look farther down the road, you experience what we deal with in October. Okay, we had the Lost Fire on top of the mountain that we let burn because it was unsafe for firefighters to be there. If you look around your homes, you look around these communities, there are places we're not going to put firefighters just because it's unsafe. And we're going to protect life first and property second. But that's part of the realities of living up in the mountains and up in the woods that we all have to face. So, as George said, you know, we've been burning piles up in Deer Creek. We've had a really good burn season this winter. With all the snow, it's enabled us to get a lot more done. In fact, they've gotten as much done as they expect to get done in a two-year period. So we're probably going to be doing some more brush piles and keeping the smoke going as long as we can through this season. So roughly April 15th, we kind of got to cut it off because of the butterfly habitat and the migratory birds and things like that. But we'll be developing some other projects around that. There is funding for communities to put in for, to help them do that wildland protection around their homes. So if you're interested in doing that, let us know and we'll set up a meeting and we can talk about how you would develop that, those proposals. When I was in San Diego, I was part of the Community Wildland Fire Plan Program Development. We reviewed all those plans and then approved them for different grants and things like that. So those opportunities are available if you want to take advantage of them. One of the things that we had developed with mountain communities was a dumpster program where they could bring all of their leaf litter and needle litter, and it was collected, and that was part of the grants paid for all that so that they didn't have to haul it off themselves. Let's see, what else? Other than that, any questions? Thoughts, ideas? Yes?
Cutting of dead trees is coming summer. Mm-hmm. Are there contracts left for that? And what's the volume that's going to be cut?
All depends on what they are. Last year we had a lot of beetle kill in the white fir. So we removed a lot of those from the developed rec sites. We will probably be doing another wood sale here, I'm going to say roughly the end of March, first part of April. As soon as they're done with the fuels work, then we'll be doing another firewood sale. There's plenty of wood right now in both the Lee and the Kyle Barrow pits.
Thank you.
But there will be more trees cut on the highway project on both 158 and 157 and 156. So those will also be down there as well.
If you might know the answer to this, I heard it. I saw a rumor on the internet. If a tree is sort of dying from the top down, then stops, does that mean that the tree is recovered and is warding off beetles, or
What?
Difficult to say. Yeah, it could be a lightning strike. You know, they'll kill them from the top down. Could be different kind of types of diseases. We will look more at the base of the tree and looking at the root structure and do boreholes to determine, you know, if there's rot inside or not. So okay. It's very difficult to assess just a single symptom
right.
that would make that determination. So that depends on the type of tree in its location. So.
One other quick question. You'd mentioned in a meeting a long time ago about it is possible to spray for these beetles on your property if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any agencies that do that here in Las Vegas or anywhere near here?
You'd have to contact the different pesticide companies and things like that to find out what they would be doing.
Right.
You know, we don't have any contracts that we do.
No, I was just curious if you knew any company in town.
We can check. We don't have a forester on staff, but we can check with the forest office up in Carson and see if they know anybody in this area.
Brian, is that tree a fir tree, do you know, or a ponderosa?
It's not a ponderosa.
Okay.
That much I do know.
It's probably a white fir, and that's probably, it sounds like fir and labor, mm-hmm. beetles. That's typically how they start on a tree.
Yeah.
I'll come over and look at it. But also, I've been in contact with Cayenne Engel mm-hmm. at Division of Forestry. We're talking about doing a workshop for beetle stuff, like in April, or, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, I know that the lot below me, two trees were killed by beetles. You could tell they went very quick within 2 years. And the bark that came off the tree, you could see the zigzag patterns and all that.
Yeah.
And this tree that I'm referring to was not more than maybe 30 feet from that tree that was cut.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the same thing's happening to this tree, but somehow it stopped. So that's what I was wondering.
That's pretty typical. You can, it's on your property?
This particular one is just barely.
Yeah.
The other one wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, try giving it plenty of water. We'll show up. Maybe I'll have Cayenne come over and we'll take a look at that too. But
okay.
And she can tell you how to water properly and all that.
The wiper that we removed last year. Now we took down the cow bark, but we set it aside for 2 years so that the beetles will die off or move off before we would sell it for just that reason. One of the biggest ways pests move is through firewood movement. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we always recommend burn it where you buy it so that
right.
you aren't bringing invasive in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Lovell, mm-hmm. Rainbow. I have a question on the funding for the cleanup. Of like the pine needles and the,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So we have what's called pine needle pickup in June, I believe, usually.
Right.
And how would that funding support something that the mountain's already doing in the communities here?
Well, it'd be similar to the fire safe council and community block grants that you might apply for, and it would help pay for the dumpsters to collect all that and remove it from the area. So we've been able to support those in the past when I was in California, and there shouldn't be a problem with applying for those same kind of grants here.
Yeah, Beth, you know what we want to do with that is when we can get to the point where we can actually hire contractors again to come and, you know, what they did before, how they picked up the piles. So all anybody had to do was break it up, and they came in with their tarps and trucks and haul it to the dumpsters. So,
could the grant be used for that?
Probably. Maybe. Depends on the grant.
Yeah, it depends on how you write it.
Okay, cool.
We need to find out about that.
The last question I guess I want to leave is from an agency perspective and from community and all working together is that we're all on the same team. You know, we can agree that we can disagree on different topics and different things, but the goal is to support each other and help each other be successful and be safe. You know, we can't do anything, you know, we're all agency people, we come and go, et cetera. The communities are here and growing and things like that. But what exists is that camaraderie, is that willingness to work together and be part of a bigger picture. You know, we're going to have dissension, we're going to have disagreements, but we need to understand the basic principles that we're working on is belief that we all have the same mission in mind, public safety being first and protecting the natural resources and allowing the public and yourselves to enjoy what's up here. Okay. And divisiveness and things like that occur, but we have to be able to step back sometimes and say, and listen, and being willing to learn and ask those questions. And we don't always have all the answers, but we're all trying to achieve the same mission. I just kind of want to leave that with you, because sometimes, you know, you might call my office and nobody calls you back right away. You know, well, they might be busy. They might be like me. I end up going places not always of my choosing, you know, and helping out other in other areas, and then we have to pick up the pieces when we get back. And the same goes for the volunteers and the people here, because you do this because you're dedicated, because you have a commitment, and we all have that. And I just want to say thanks and appreciate allowing me to be a part of that.
Thank you, Don. And Dot, I don't see Glenn here. I think he's out. He was out today shaving the sides of the roads on Deer Creek, widening them up and cutting the snowbank. So next is Megan.
Can I stand here?
Oh, no. You got to go over here. No, that's fine. You can stand.
I don't have much. As I reported last month, the grant balance, the allocation for round seven, is $120,000. And I think Curtis had asked me about the old things that were before that were outstanding. That's all been cleared up. So the only outstanding issues are with round five and round six, which were just in 2016 and for fiscal 2017. And those are being finished up, you know, right now. The projects are being finished up. So the $120,000, there's nothing encumbering that from the past. That number excludes anything that's encumbered from previous, from the last 2 years of projects. Mm-hmm. So we will be reviewing those next month. Or it's actually the March meeting, but it's still this month. So we're in 2 months, two meetings. Anyway, March 30th will be the next meeting that we'll hear those. And
so all the apps are in on that?
Yes, the deadline was the 28th. And I did not get a final count, but I know there's at least five. So and that's all I had.
Okay. Thank you.
Got a question?
Yes.
Has Larry appointed the committee to, which is a conglomerate of all the agents here, to look at winter issues and the like?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. You guys will know when we do that, but no, not until the snow season's done.
Okay.
June. This year.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not going to get anything done. So yeah. That's all right.
It'll be June this year. We had snow. Yeah. All right, thanks. Planning and zoning, we have nothing. Our general business, has everybody had a chance to go over the bylaws? We've had them for a couple of months now. For any questions or concerns about the bylaws?
I didn't hear it from anybody that had any concerns. No. So. Then we will move forward as they are. It doesn't require a vote.
It doesn't require a vote? Okay. Okay. The next thing we have on the agenda is comments by the general public for anything that you would like to bring up. Any questions, comments? Brian.
This is about county road maintenance in the subdivisions. Last meeting we discussed how the snowblower was kind of, could have done a better job maybe aiming for vacant parcels or empty or sections of occupied parcels that where there was no propane tank or driveway. Was that communicated by chance to the group?
Absolutely. I went, actually we met with, I sent it to them and talked to Angelo, the director, and we actually, Commissioner Brown and I met with him yesterday, the day before, about the concerns, and those have all been shared with his workers. There are a couple new guys, and so it's a learning process. And so, like, for example, and it's nice to have specifics, too. For example, one was on echo when you're going in, how there's no houses on one side and houses on the other. And that's when I brought up to Angelo. Could they blow the snow onto the non-house side? And he said those are definitely constructive things that we can share, and that is very reasonable and can be done. So most of them aren't that straightforward, But that all of your concerns have been given
and
to public.
I know the last time, after the last storm, we had 2 feet. And they brought the blower up. They really weren't using it all that much. They had a front end loader, and they were piling it in, like you suggested, piling in lots, pushing it into places where there weren't homes, out of driveways, vacant lots. So sounds like they got the message, and they had made some adjustments to the way they were doing things.
And they minimized using the blower because nobody likes it.
Yeah.
But I came up with a solution. Just put the snow in the other guy's yard.
Yes.
Kick it to Curtis.
Actually, it wasn't really a problem for myself, but it was for one of my neighbors.
But like I said, it is a learning process. I know there's new people, and we haven't had this much snow in a long time.
Right.
So it's a little difficult to...
Speaking of that, there had been a question last week, and I didn't put it on the agenda, but about the poles that are along the road, there's a question about what those were for, and they put those in before the snow so they know where there's obstacles.
Yes.
So if there's a curb or something sticking out or a large tree root, that's to alert them so that they don't wreck the snow, whatever, you know, the big machine, and so that they don't destroy property. So that's the purpose of it. It's not to indicate driveways. It's to indicate where there's obstacles.
Yeah, no, it's okay. For equipment.
This also with regard to county.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this time of year, after everything's defrosting and whatnot, and the rocks that were loosened from freezing are starting to fall out. But on Spruce Road, it's a lot more pronounced. There's a lot of overhanging dirt clods, whatever you want to call these things, that are coming out from the edges of the cliff, and big rocks are coming down. And not just on the edge of the road, but in the road. So I was wondering, they had done some kind of a project, the state did, on Kyle Canyon, where they raked the hillside.
They raked the side.
Something like that?
I got your email about that. You just sent it today. And I sent it to Angelo and have not gotten a response yet. So I don't know what the answer is there. And I don't know if what you're talking about is on private property, which may make it more complicated. I don't know.
It probably is.
But as soon as I
get an answer, drops right to the
An issue. Actually, it's an issue on the state highways also. We were going across Deer Creek today and had to stop 3 times and pick boulders up out of the road. And NDOT was working a mile down the road. They'd already been by it. So
it's really an issue.
Yeah. It's an issue, like I say, that's the it's just basically dirt on the side of the road, and with all the moisture and the snow we've had, it's loosening the wind, it's loosening things up, and they're rolling down on the road. Best thing to do is call I don't know, George, the fire department, and they can get a message to the county, or call the county roads. I know I'll hear on the radio that the fire department's calling NDOT and letting them know that they've got a bunch of roads
off to the edge. I do that.
Yeah,
you know, I don't mind doing.
But
it.
There's a lot, and it's.
My only concern is that something big might come down.
That's happened a couple of times already this year on the highways, even where they did the work. So
I sent the request to Angelo. I don't know what his response is going to be.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anybody with any other questions, comments, concerns? No? Okay. Our next meeting is
March 30th.
March 30th.
I've told you guys I'm not a good secretary. So
we do need a secretary if anybody's interested. March 30th, and if nothing else, we stand adjourned.
So March 30th is when we hear the...
March 30th is when we'll have the grants.
Grant money.
Okay. We're done.
All right. I think this is a record.
Yeah. Yeah.